I don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's coming from my obsessions. I'm thinking one day I'm going to teach millions of people. I'm going to speak in hotels and conferences and exhibit halls. See, I had done the opposite of what the counselor had said and was throwing myself completely, obsessively into this new obsessions. I was obsessed with my obsessions. You get it? I was obsessed. I completely threw myself into the fire, into my obsessions. And my life was starting to bear fruit and create a future consistent with the dreams I had had as a child. Success had become my new drug. I finally began to understand how to make my obsessive nature work for me, not against me. I thought this was a great change in mindset, so I was surprised and upset when the people around me who believed in me, who saw me improving, who worked with me every day, started to react with concern to my new philosophy. I remember people grabbing me and saying, "Look, man, you're replacing one addiction with another one." I couldn't believe that anyone would compare what had almost taken my life from me, probably actually did take my life from me, with this new commitment I had made to creating success for me. But he wasn't the only one. Lots of people had concerns. They were happy. They were happy I wasn't using drugs, but I didn't understand that recovering from a drug addiction wasn't enough for me. People kept saying, "Why can't that be enough?" Coworkers, "Life isn't all about work, Grant, you know." Even the guy who owned the car dealership said, "I think you should relax a little bit. Take some time off." My family was concerned about burnout and relapsing. I wasn't even thinking about burnout or relapsing until they brought it up. Sorry, but no. See, I had been some very low places in my life. I mean, low. How low can you go? And I wasn't going to go back to low. Hitting that massive bottom in my life had given me something to bounce off of, bounce back from. I mean, the beautiful thing about hitting the bottom is it gives you a place to freaking launch from. And I wanted to bounce back as high as possible. And if I could go that low and survive, I thought, how high could I go in the other direction? So no matter how troubling was to others, my new behavior, it was my obsessions with success that had given me this new lease on life. It was not the fact that I just stopped using drugs. How did I get into this drug thing in the first place? Because I had denied my obsessions. See, I was really beginning to understand the power of a positive obsession, of possibility, of immersing yourself completely into something for the first time in my life. While others were concerned, I was seeing the results of a new obsession. Obsession is a gift. In my life, being obsessed with success has never created a problem for me. In fact, denying my obsessions is what caused the problems. The drugs came as an alternative at a time when squelching my ideas and my dreams of doing unbelievable great things, okay, whatever that is, money, fame, fortunes, author, speaker, great father, husband, community leader, squelching that actually caused the problems. In fact, every time in my life, when I have denied my desire to create an amazing life, when I have denied any dream that I've had, I found myself being seduced by the activities that actually caused me problems. Deny this, and something's going to suck me in. See, when you learn how to control and focus your obsessions, quit denying your obsessions, you will become powerful. You tap into the power of the obsession, and you become an unstoppable person capable of making every dream you've ever had and more, by the way, a reality. Look, you can only dream so big when things are going bad. So when you start to unleash the positive obsessions, you open yourself up to real possibilities. You'll create the life you deserve, free of the neurosis, the neuroses, the neurotica, and destructive behaviors that are most often confused with what I am promoting here. Obsessed. Be obsessed. Or be average. It's clear. When I finally quit fighting my obsessive mentality, my obsessive, addictive, what they call personality, and I started to nurture and feed it and fuel it, my life launched. When I quit defending, when I quit drugging it, when I quit diminishing my obsessions and quit diminishing my dreams of success and even fame and wealth and celebrity and great family and community leader, when I quit doing all that, my energy was renewed. It was like I went from being 6 cylinders to 12 or 18 or 24. When I started studying other obsessive types like me, you know, the people you and I both know, who were super successful and stopped seeking the advice and listening to those who had settled for average lives, average results, average money, average everything, and who were never, had never been obsessed with anything except, of course, defending what they have is enough, average. That's when I began to really live. When I started to own the fact that I was obsessed with and had personal fantasies of indestructible wealth and fame. Maybe you don't want that. Indestructible, unbelievable amounts of wealth and fame. When I quit pushing that down, when I became obsessed with the fantasy of the creation of wealth, fame, riches, and the desire to create a legacy in my life, to become someone other people would talk about that would outlast this time, my time on this planet, the world started to look different to me. Possibilities started to look different. I started to have more energy. I didn't need drugs anymore. I seemed to get younger overnight. Literally, my complexion changed. The skin color changed. I had more energy. My creativity seemed endless. My genius was awakened. I started to attract other people more like me. I also started to attract criticism and haters and naysayers and advice givers. Opportunities, when I can look through all the negative, started to present themselves to me as well. Opportunities that never came my way in the past were starting to show up at my door. Obsession itself is not a deficit, nor is it a character defect, as psychologists and psychiatrists would like to tell you. Obsession, the ability to obsess about something positive, about a dream, about changing the world, about celebrity, about status, about legacy. Obsession with those things is a gift. It is the gift of the gods. It is the gift of all geniuses. And it's a gift that I believe that you have. That's right. The next time one of these settling people, the average people, ordinary people, the people that quit on their dreams, the next time one of them tells you that your obsession is an illness or some aberration, tell them, dude, I'm not afflicted. I'm gifted. And smile at them and give them a little pretty wink and walk away. Look, your obsession is the most valuable tool you have to build the life you deserve and the life you have dreamed of. Unfortunately, most people never figure out what they're really obsessed with because they've been taught to deny their obsessions. All your energy is spent trying to push them down rather than own them and use them. Don't let that be you. Look, you've tried that long enough. It's got you where you are right now. Quit defending what you're obsessed about. Quit trying to make sense to your wife, your kids, your mom, and your dad. You know your dreams and only you know your dreams. You know your potential and only you know your potential. Find something, anything that you're obsessed about with right now. Look, it doesn't matter what it is at this moment because you're going to take the urges and the momentum and the fixation on that thing and redirect it. Use any obsession. It has energy. See, maybe you're obsessed with fantasy football and you spend too much time on it. And you know you spend too much time on it. I don't need to tell you you spend too much time on it. You know, I know. You're obsessed with Pokemon. You're obsessed with Candy Crush. You're obsessed with gaming online. I don't know. You're obsessed with pornography. You're obsessed with drinking too often. Whatever. Good. I mean, not really good, but you know what I mean. Use it. Maybe you're obsessed with one particular relationship that you know is destructive. Fine. This only goes to prove you can be obsessed with something. Understand the energy, okay? If you're obsessed with Pokemon, spending too much energy, understand, acknowledge, oh my God, I got a lot of energy here. If you're obsessed with online gaming and you're spending 3 and 4 hours there, good. If you're obsessed with a bad relationship, know that you have the potential, the fuel, the firepower to be obsessed, to throw yourself all in. Because that's what you need to create the life you want. Even if you're obsessed with things you know can in no way produce greatness in your life, it doesn't even matter at this moment. What matters at first is realizing you have the capacity to be obsessed. Because without the capacity to be obsessed, you cannot be great. I will prove this to you later. Your obsession means you have the juice, the fuel, the desire, the seed that thing that the gods loaded up in you to direct you, to see you through, to persist, to be unreasonable, to be a maniac. Your obsessions will get you out of the culture or average that is drowning society. More on that in the next chapter. Now you just need to channel the monsters. Let them be your friends. Bring them in. Redirect the energy that they have available to you. Something positive and constructive. Don't try to stifle or reduce the obsessions. Instead, give yourself right now permission to use your obsessions and redirect them. No limits. Most of you reading this will not, I hope, have wasted a day or a dime on drugs in your life. Hopefully you didn't lose your father when you were 10. But you don't need to go through the things I went through. You don't need to get yourself beat up at 23 and almost killed. Okay? You don't need to lose daddy at 10. You don't need to lose your brother at 20. You don't need to go use drugs every day of your life. Okay? You don't need to do any of that. But you do need to get obsessed. You do need to tap into the power of your obsessions in order to get out of this thing called average. To have what you want in life, you must give yourself permission to throw yourself all in on your dreams, your purpose, your potential. Make it clear to those around you that you are making a decision to embrace your obsessions completely and throw yourself into them. And though that you would like their support, any expectations you have or they may have of you staying where you are, settling for less than you are, being average, not growing, not changing, any of that and all of that has to take a back seat. I want you to become selfish now. I want you to become, for the first time in your life, selfish with your dreams and your goals and become obsessed with them. I want them to tell you if they truly love you, hey man, support me. If you don't, you'll understand you're taking a back seat. Anyone that loves you would want you to do great things in your life. Okay? The truth is, the people that are with you, that say they love you, that want you to stay where you are, don't really love you. They really love themselves and they don't want you to change. Ask yourself right now, how far up can you go from where you are right now? If it was measured in miles, 10 miles, 100 miles, 1,000 miles, 10,000 miles, how far can you go? How much more can you do? Ask yourself. And most importantly, what do you need to do to be completely obsessed with that? What would that obsession get you? How far could you go if you threw yourself all in, not to mention if you got everybody else around you on the same page? I'm going to show you how to do that. Being obsessed doesn't take into account your education. It doesn't care. You're obsessed. You don't need an education. I mean, you need to know what you're doing, but you don't need a college degree. You don't even need a high school degree. Being obsessed doesn't care about your financial condition today. You could be in poverty or you could be rich. Even your abilities will not matter when you're obsessed enough. The mechanics on this planet cannot exist in place of someone that is so obsessed, they no longer deal with the obstacles and the barriers and the mechanics of life. You'll need them eventually. You'll need education. You'll need money, okay? You'll need all the things. You'll need abilities. But none of these matter if you don't first give yourself permission to become obsessed with your obsessions. It's all about your desires. It's all about your willingness to see a goal all the way through, despite obstacles, despite the barriers, despite limitations, despite economic problems, despite competition. Obsessions saved my life. Obsessions changed my life. Being obsessed has given me the ability to create the life I am living today, and it can do the same for you. Chapter 2, obsession is your only option. Because you picked up this book, I already know you're a big thinker. I know you're a big dreamer. And I know you're someone who wants to have massive success. You're also probably extremely frustrated at this point in your life. You know you can do more. Every time you see others achieving greatness, you wonder, whether it's sports or business, why are they able to do that and I'm not? Those succeeding aren't necessarily smarter than you. They don't work harder than you. So why them and not you? Look, even if you're a multimillionaire today, you know the truth. You know you have the potential to be a billionaire. Or maybe you're an artist and your work sells, but you know you should be recognized internationally. If you have this gnawing desire to be great, this insatiable appetite, if you have a big dream and the talent, and I believe you do, then you should, at this point in your life, be frustrated. If you don't feel like you fit in, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You stayed up at night unable to sleep, constantly thinking about a new or bigger or better way. Good. Also, a good thing. Do you hate having people tell you how well you're doing when you know you could do more? Awesome. You're never satisfied with success you achieve? Perfect. All these unsettling feelings are signs that you're obsessed. Join the club. Look, I figure you are at this point in your life in one of the following three positions. You got off track from pursuing your big dreams because society told you your plans were too unlikely or too audacious. As a result, you've toned down your message and belief over the years, buying into the idea that obsession is unhealthy, that overworking unhealthy, that big dreams unhealthy. Maybe you've been conditioned to fit inside this little tiny box instead of breaking out on your own. And you're trading in your dreams of greatness for a cute house, a 401k, and a 2-hour commute. No wonder you're frustrated. Look, business ideas that used to keep you up all night have been shelved in favor of weekends on the couch in front of the TV. It's not that you're lazy. It's that you've been told too many times by too many of your friends and family that this obsession, this bizarre, crazy obsession of yours is unhealthy and that your dreams are unattainable and you bought in. You bought it. Or number two, you have a clear vision for your success but need validation that will operate as additional fuel for this explosion into success. See, you know you're on the right track right now, but you're not operating possibly as quickly or as well as you could be in becoming that massive player and that winner you know you can be. You know at this point with certainty that you have to be fanatical to have any remote chance at making your dreams a reality. All 80 billion cells in your body are consumed with the idea of success. Now, you simply need to figure out how to make it happen. Or number three, this is the first time anyone has ever told you that it's okay to be the obsessive freak you always wanted to be. Maybe you're a person that knows in the back of their mind that obsession isn't a bad thing, but isn't living it yet. You picked up this book because the title somehow grabbed you. A good book title will do that. And it reminded you of what you gave up on earlier in your life, maybe a long time ago, and has made you realize how far you've moved away from that powerful force, that seed, that gnawing inside of you that maybe you have reawakened within you now. Maybe you never knew that obsession was an option, let alone the only option. Look, wherever you're coming from as you read this book, as you hold it in your hands, you've definitely watched others, no smarter than you, bring ideas to the marketplace and become millionaires, hectamillionaires, and billionaires. Enough of watching. Only you are responsible for your success. Look, the obsessed embrace the fact that they, and only they, are responsible for their success. You and only you can settle for less. At the end of the day, people may feel sympathy for you. They may offer a shoulder for you to cry on, but no one has enough emotional bandwidth or financial capacity to help you when you don't make it. There are billions of people on this planet living in daily emotional turmoil, knowing they are living and operating well below their potential. Blame whoever you want for whatever you want. If you're living below your potential, it is only your fault. No one feels sorry for you. No one is going to help you. Being obsessed is the only way to create enough success to get from where you are to where you should be. Being obsessed is the only way to create enough success today to ever be an inspiration to others, much less yourself, and actually make a difference on this planet. Being obsessed is required, demanded, mandatory in order for you to have enough significant bandwidth to provide guidance and support for all the other people who need you to step up. After I had become successful, sometime in my 40s, I used to tell my Uncle Vincent, who recently passed, my dreams of doing even bigger things, and he would say, if you can, you must. If you can do it, you must do it. It's okay to want it all. Look, there's thousands of books on success out there, but few of them actually match up with my definition of success. You have to find your own definition, but I don't think you'll find this one offensive. It's not just a steady job. Success is not just the respect of your peers. It's not a nice little nest egg for retirement. Success. The success I've always wanted and still want, the definition I use is to have massive amounts of whatever your definition of success is. For me, success has never been one thing. It has never been one achievement. It has never been one dream or one aim or one goal. I have always wanted to be successful at lots of things. A girl I dated years ago often told me, "You're never satisfied. You want to have your cake and eat it too." And I responded, "Why would I want to be satisfied? And oh, by the way, why would I want a cake if I can't eat it? Look, I've always wanted many things." That is success. The attainment of many things, not just one thing. For me, and I would expect for you, success is about being great at many things. Father, mother, son, daughter, community involved, community leader, business person, author, speaker, I don't know, artist, whatever. Look, I certainly wouldn't be satisfied with just being rich or just being happy or just being healthy. I want it all. I want health. I want wealth. I want family. I want love. I want recreation, spirituality, community, and I want time to enjoy it all. Why settle for one color when you can have the rainbow? For me, success is defined as the attainment of my potential, the reach for what I can do. Like my uncle said, if you can, you must. My assessment of this potential has changed over the course of my life. At 25, I thought my potential was just to not use drugs on any given day. A year later, 12 months later, I was paying off $40,000 in debt and I was getting my income to $60,000 a year. You think, big deal. It was a big deal for me. Trust me. By the time I was 29, starting my first business, my goal was to match the $100,000 I had previously made in automotive sales. So notice in a period of 3 or 4 years, notice how much my goals changed. My success, my definition, is chasing my potential. At 25, I don't want to use drugs anymore. A year later, I want to pay off some debt. A year after that, I want to make some money. Okay? 3 years after that, I want to leave my job, replace the new job by working for myself and make that much money. See, all of those achievements looking back, all of them, every one of them, my entire life, including when I was 10, wanting that dream house that my father had bought for me, wanting to move back to the dream house. Every goal I have had in my life, every achievement I have attained was well beneath my potential. 30 years in business now, thousands of paid speaking gigs, tens of thousands, award-winning books, TV appearances, and my potential is still being revealed to me as I push myself and fuel my obsessions and have new experiences. You are limited today by the experiences you will have tomorrow. When I finally found the love of my life, finally, I became aware of my potential to love another person, Elena, and create an amazing partnership with her. Then when I had children, I realized my potential again to be a father. I always thought I'd be a good father, to love and care for, to be tolerant and patient of, to make time and play with kids, to protect my children at all costs. You don't know that until you do that. See, your potential expands as it reveals itself over time as you discover more and more of you and what you're capable of. I realize now I have always, and consider this, I have always underestimated my potential. And if you underestimate your potential, then how can you possibly set the right goals? So when somebody else tells you, why do you dream so big? Understand this, you should be dreaming way bigger than you are. How would they know when you don't? I expect still today, when you're most conscious, most aware, and most honest, and most bashless, that you know you can do more. I expect, I still do. I have already achieved 100 times, maybe 1,000 times more than I ever thought possible. I remember when I started my apartment business, my real estate company, I wanted to buy 20 units, own 4,000. I would never have thought early on that I could do that. So how could I dream of that? I am aware today that I have yet to fulfill my full potential, and I doubt that you have. Why would you pick up a book called Be Obsessed or Be Average if you had fulfilled your full potential? I am obsessed with discovering what I'm capable of. Some say life is about the journey, not the destination. I disagree. I love destinations. I love them because once I reach that destination, they teach me about my full potential. I don't go on a trip to be on the plane. I go on a trip to get somewhere. I have always secretly believed I was capable of doing unbelievable things. Even at the low points of my life, I had an understanding deep in me that my potential was greater than my achievements. My potential was greater than that thing which I was working on. Still today, I have both sides of this awareness and the gnawing drive to do more, my obsessions. And to be completely honest, I never thought much about the past success. Throughout everything I have attained in my life, when you ask me, hey, what's your biggest accomplishment? I don't think about what I've accomplished. I think about what I can accomplish. I'm obsessed with the future. I've always had my attention on what is possible, not what I've done. I never believe anyone says they're satisfied. I just don't believe it. I think they're delusional. These are the sick ones, those that should be labeled for what they are. Quitters. Anyone that says they're satisfied has quit on their potential, quit on their future. The guy that says, I'm living the dream. Really? What dream is that you're living, man? A dream is something that happens to you when you lay in bed and sleep at night, not something you do during the day. I hate the saying. Guys who are making dreams a reality never believe they have done enough or accomplished enough. They're obsessed with the next level. They're obsessed with the next creation, the next reality, not the dream, the reality of the dream. Those who believe, those around you, those you sleep with, your friends, you go to meetings with that work for you, those that believe they are satisfied, happy, content, listen closely, are very confused or extremely dangerous because those same people will try to persuade you unknowingly, unconsciously, or possibly intentionally, they will try to persuade you to stop trying and to be satisfied with the way you are right now. Why? Why would they do that? Why would a guy that's satisfied try to convince me to be satisfied with my own life? He's trying to make sense of his life. He's trying to make sense of the decision he has made to be satisfied. Look, anytime I've allowed myself to be influenced by another, by others, to compromise my vision of my success, my future, my dreams, my reality that I want to create. Anytime I've done that to settle for less than what I am capable, I end up settling for less than what I am capable. I convince myself I have done enough because of their influence. And I settle for something less than having it all. At that point, I become unhappy every time, irritable, bored, discontent, depressed, and angry. Dissatisfied with anything and everything around me, including my unbelievable surroundings. Have you ever seen a wealthy, rich, super rich person? They hate everything around them. Of course, they quit striving for their potential. Look, when I'm striving to achieve my full potential, I am at my happiest. I am happiest when I'm closing monster deals, solving big problems, making connections with giant players, and doing things I myself had doubted were possible. When those things happen, I become a better father. It has nothing to do with me being a father, but it makes me a better father in that moment. It makes me a better husband. It makes me a better friend, a better employer. It makes me a better member of society, a contributing member of society. It makes me a lighthouse, a beacon of hope. Hey, it makes me a better me. And a better me makes me a happier me. See, over the years, it has become popular to throw around so many useless, even though popular, sayings like, life is meant to be lived. Oh, it sounds so poetic. Success is not everything, young man. See, I find myself feeling like an outcast talking about wanting more. I found myself today in today's society of settling, of people that settle, herds of people that settle for whatever leftovers is given them. I find myself feeling like an outcast, talking about wanting more. Greedy, I feel like that. Oh, I want to have it all. Like, what's wrong with you, Grant? I'm constantly pushing toward my potential, never satisfied. And when I look around society, I see everybody just eating whatever, grazing at whatever leftovers, and making sense of it It makes me feel weird. I've been heavily criticized and ridiculed by many who don't even know me, and some that do, saying I'm greedy, selfish, egotistical, never satisfied, hard to deal with, demanding. My wife has never said that about me. My kids have never said that about me. The people that understand me don't say that about me. And the people, by the way, that understand themselves and are trying to reach their full potential, their own full potential, never say that about me. People that have created billion-dollar empires never say, I want too much. They pat me on the back and say, you can. And you should. Oh, by the way, if you can, you must. See, many of the things that people say about me are true. I can be greedy. I admit it. I can be selfish. I admit it. I can be egotistical. I admit it. And oh, by the way, I am almost never satisfied so that I can take care of my family. I know why I'm doing this. So I can take care of my dreams. By the way, they've been around a lot longer than Elena and the kids have. I can take care of my church. It needs help. And I can help my community. Certainly society needs some leadership. Since you picked this book up, I'm going to assume that you already know you want it all, even if you've maybe told yourself that it's just a pipe dream. And you want me to wake that up and inspire the obsession freak in you. Just to be sure, see how many of the following questions you answer yes to. Secretly or publicly, have you always wanted to do unbelievable things? It's yes or no. It's not maybe. Secretly or publicly, have you always wanted to do unbelievable things? Answer as quickly as possible. Do you dream of doing something that will make the entire world stand up and take notice? Have you ever considered what it would be like if your name became a household name? Or wondered what it would be like to be famous, a celebrity, paparazzi? Would you like your name to be synonymous with a breakthrough that changed the world for the better? Just answer yes or no. Would you love to walk into a crowded room and have everyone know your name? Have you ever imagined what it would be like to fly in a private jet or even own your own? Come on, admit it. You want it all. Even if you said no to one or two things, if you get really honest, come on, Uncle G, you can tell me the truth. You deserve to have it all. You're capable of more. You deserve massive success, so abundant it can't be disrupted, can't be taken away, can't be diminished, and could never be stolen from you. Those who suggest you should settle for less than your potential are doing so because they're trying to make sense of a decision they have made to settle for less in their own lives. Actually, they didn't settle. Let's call it for what it is. They quit. They quit short of their potential and now are trying to make sense of why they did so. There is no exception to this rule. The super successful will never tell anyone to do less. The super successful would never suggest to you to settle or to be satisfied. Those who have actually made it big would never tell you your dream is a pipe dream, would never encourage you to do less, but would tell you to do more. Prepare yourself. When you commit fully to this obsession thing, you will be labeled an outlier, a freak, a weirdo. You will be labeled with diseases. The psychiatrist will want to drug you. Remind yourself, you aren't the problem. The problem with the obsessions, with those geniuses, the fanatics, the maniacs, those that refuse to settle, is not them, but the world they are living in. In the epidemic of average, I believe that one of the reasons my message can sound so shocking is that we're suffering from an epidemic of average, where quitting has become normal. So many in the shrinking middle class set their sights on what it takes to just get by instead of what it takes to thrive and prosper, and set themselves on a course for true success. The middle class is failing to provide real freedom to anyone and only ensures that you live a life of fear and constant worry. To understand how deep this epidemic runs, consider the following. Studies by Bankrate.com suggest that somewhere between 62 and 76% of all Americans living in the richest country on planet Earth are merely living paycheck to paycheck. Many what used to be solid, reliable, middle-class jobs and middle-class homes are suffering. According to 2012 Washington Post article, over one half of the U.S. population is on some form of government assistance. According to Forbes, there are currently over 28 million small businesses in America, 75% which are run by solopreneurs, who by definition work alone and have no employees, which means they do everything themselves. This same study shows that of all small businesses, 92% make less than $250,000 a year. And get this, 67% of those break even or lose money. According to MarketWatch, in 2015, Americans had over $1.3 trillion in college debt. Understand, that's more debt than every credit card in the United States of America combined. And by the way, what did all that college debt produce? According to a study by CareerBuilder, over 30% of college grads don't even work in the field they studied. And then consider that the middle class finances the American dream with a 30-year mortgage that has barely gone up 1% per year when adjusted for inflation. And ask everyday people, and they're going to tell you, a home is an investment when it's no more than a mere trap. According to Gallup polls, the average American works under 35 hours a week, and almost 70% of them are disengaged at their jobs. That means they don't like what they do. Look, whether you're one of those statistics or not, hopefully you're not. But here's the problem. You're surrounded by them. You're listening to them. You hire them. You go to dinner with them. Consider all the college kids who took on student loan debt only to have to move in back when mommy and daddy let them move back in. What about homeownership, which has gone down from almost 68% of the population to the lowest levels since 1950? By the way, how can you be obsessed when you're stuck at an address? You and I are living among these people every day. Hundreds of millions of them called the middle class that has been so seduced, so tricked, so enamored by some fallacy of what it represents that even other countries want to recreate this middle class. You and I living among these people, even if we are not them, and we are therefore seriously influenced by their mindset and their actions. People are failing because of how they think and how little they do. There's a popular saying, you are the composite of the five people you spend the most time with. What if there's 200 million of them? Look around. Look at the people you see aren't screaming success. They're validating average. Oh, fancy word for average? The middle class. People are lazy because it's tolerated. People accept the idea average because their parents and peers told them it was all right to settle for less rather than becoming obsessed with their dreams. People are settling because they see other people settle. Look, if knowledge is power, and I believe it is, then the issue that most of us are getting is that we're getting the wrong knowledge, the wrong meanings, the wrong definitions, the wrong examples. People are being encouraged to be happy, and they spend their lives trying to buy happiness with borrowed money from credit cards they must pay off with money they earn from a job that they hate. I'd rather be obsessed. People are sold on the idea if they finally get into the middle class, they'll be better off than 80% of the world, only to find themselves dumbfounded as to why they have no time for their families and no money left over for pleasure. I had a gentleman reach out to me recently and said, you know, if you earn $19,000 a year in America, you're better than 90% of the world. I'm like, dude, you can make sense of anything. And sure, that whole we're all in this together mantra that our culture promotes sounds nice until you need some money. And you can't take care of your own dreams, your own family, your own refrigerator. Look, how can you even take care of your own neighbor if you're coming up short on your own dreams? If you can't pay your own bills, how are you going to help me pay mine? If you can't make your dreams a reality, how can you encourage me or another that they can? The fact is, you can't. There's so much average advice in this society, you wonder how it gets up in the morning. You see, any society that accepts average as the bar of success will always have problems with people like you and me. You see yourself as an entrepreneur, a scrapper, a competitor, a hard worker, a risk taker, a committed, a fanatic. Others see you as abnormal, problematic, driven, greedy, never satisfied, overly demanding, tyrannical. Maybe it's the person you sleep with thinks you're self-serving and unreasonable, a control freak. Raise your hand if you've ever been called a control freak. You can be my friend. Who doesn't want control? The only person that wouldn't want control is somebody that has given up on it. Those who don't get it, including your friends, including your family, employees and colleagues, will tell you things like, slow down, Jeffy. Life is to be enjoyed, Jenny. Hey, don't work too much. Don't work too hard. Take it easy. Be grateful. Someone else somewhere is worse off than you, little Bobby. Life is short, Muhammad. Money isn't everything. Bigger isn't better. Oh, the sayings. These folks, spellbound by their beliefs, their little sayings, searching for this work-life balance, trying to fit in, getting along, believing fairness and equality is for all, make up reasons for you to abandon your dream. Obsessions, they say, are unhealthy. But what about their obsessions with comfort? What about their obsessions with fitting in and being normal, with having no drive? How do you make sense of no drive every day? And they're obsessed with it. How about the obsession our culture has with no purpose, no direction? How about the obsession with excuse making and blame? What about the plague of doubt that billions of people on this planet have who have contracted, backed up, retreated, allowing them to settle into average or even below average lives? Think about the mom who gave up on writing the book, the school teacher who gave up on his or her dreams of owning their own business or even helping out a student. How about the businessman that gave up on his or her desire to be an artist? See, all these people refuse to take risk so that they can have order in their life, calm and balance. Have you ever noticed that the person who shouts out success isn't everything is the guy or gal who has no success? These mottos are freely dispensed, and very few ever take the time to even lightly inspect their veracity, if they have any. All these people are going through life spouting off to others, advice flowing freely everywhere. Abandon your dreams of fame and fortune and power because you might not make it. Don't have dreams that are too ambitious. Be reasonable in your thinking. Remember, people who try to persuade you to give up are not trying to help you. They are trying to make sense of why they gave up. The reality is none of those people ever make anything more than excuses. Doesn't mean they're bad people. They may be the people you sleep with or go to Thanksgiving with. It may be the people you borrow money from. It may be investors in your company or people that work at your company, but they aren't going to change the world, and they won't support anyone else in changing the world either. The distraction of the masses. Add to that fact that every day we are hammered. You and I are hammered relentlessly with distractions, lies, political agendas, crisis, terror, and false hopes. This constant bombardment makes people believe they are powerless. Mere spectators in their own lives who only know how to get by. Grateful that they made the day. Millions of people spend 3 to 4 hours of their workday scanning social media and then go home to watch more social media, but not on a 4-inch screen, a 90-inch screen that they borrowed on their credit card and pay for a job that they hate to go to. It's crazy. Hypnotized by the national media's coverage, which you, by the way, the same people know lies, mesmerized by the liars that they admit they know lie and then sit down and watch it 4 and 5 hours a day. The most recent terrorist attack, the missing plane, the celebrity scandal that has nothing to do with your life at all. Glued to one of so many made up sagas about cops solving crimes or battles in imaginary kingdoms. Turn those off and you live in a world where there are more mobile devices than human beings. We're being blasted by 24/7 internet jabber, Twitter feeds in the hundreds of billions, 8 billion daily Snapchats, and YouTube videos, trillions of useless posts every day, and now streaming video where everyone can be a broadcaster puking mindless content. Not to mention we're constantly being spammed with pornography, celebrity fascinations, bouncing cats. With this much distraction coming at you nonstop, the chance for your success, come on, is slight. But you can break out of the average cycle. In fact, you must. Average is a failing formula. It works for no one except those that have quit. It works for no one. No matter how much they try to make sense of average, when you inspect it closely, it is failure. Unhappy people can't teach other people how to be happy any more than a poor man can teach another man how to get rich. A guy in a failing marriage cannot teach another how to make their marriage work. An average person cannot teach you how to be exceptional. I have a saying I live by. I never take advice from a quitter. And let me be clear. Average people are quitters. They quit striving for a better life and quit short of their potential and spend the rest of their life trying to convince others to do the same. So how can you live above the average line? Well, you'd have to start by being all in and all obsessed. Let's look at some people who have proven that the obsessed thing is the way to go. Steve Jobs said, "I want to put a dent in the universe." Ping! Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." Gandhi said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." Bill Gates said, "Success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose." And the great Muhammad Ali said, "I am the greatest." See, you know these people and their words and their work because they were obsessed. They stayed obsessed long after others had dismissed them. Sure, people tried to get them to just enjoy life a little more. They were called crazy, arrogant, troublemakers. They were called insane and whacked out, fanatics, and even more. In the end, though, they each changed the world. These people weren't superheroes. They didn't possess any special powers that you and I have in common. They were just completely obsessed. They fed their obsessions. They led their unshakable dedication, unreasonable efforts, and enduring commitment to go far beyond what any average person would do in order to make their dreams a reality. They embraced their obsessions. They didn't simply play in the game. They were obsessed with shaping the game. No, none of these people were perfect. Of course not. Filled with character defects, flawed in many ways, but each of them created a legacy that will live on for centuries, long, long after their bodies drop. Their names will inspire hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, to consider what it means to be great, to accomplish great things, to stand for great change. Was Muhammad Ali just a fighter? I think not. His story inspires men and women of all races, religions, and ages with the message that in order to have greatness, you must claim greatness before it is proven on the stage. Stand up and claim your greatness. Become obsessed with it, because no matter how much concern or love another person has for you, they don't have your dreams. Those belong only to you, and they make you unique. They gnaw at you. You have them in your belly. Most likely, you had your dreams before you had most of the people who are in your life today. Your friends, your kids, your spouse, and family, they may love you. They may worship you and cherish you, but that doesn't mean they share your dreams and desires. They have their own. They embrace them, they fuel them, or they deny them. Rather than taking advice from them, lowering your standards for them, or giving up altogether for them, see if they pursue their dreams with obsession, using every waking moment to realize those dreams, because you will. You will do everything to make them a reality, and it will require many choices and sacrifices. If they are not willing to do that, it is clear that they themselves have given up on their dreams and desires, and you must not take their advice. Don't be surprised. Most people have given up. So be sure you never take advice from those that have given up. Remember, I never take advice from a quitter. And we all quit. Everyone around you has quit. They will try to persuade you to do the same as they did, resulting in you living a life smaller than you can. The difference between hooked on success and the obsessed. Getting hooked on the idea of success and actually being obsessed enough to pursue it are two completely different things. Just wanting to be great isn't enough. Look, I've shed sweat, blood, tears, and put my ass on the line more times than I can count to get where I am today. I hate to break it to you, but you'll need to do the same. You will have to pay the price. People will be disappointed in your decisions. There's no such thing as obsession light. There's no such thing as a part-time obsession. If you want to lead the pack, if you want to make the game, not play the game, you need to abandon the idea that some other, milder version of obsession, some balance, diluted obsession is an option. It's not. Sometimes obsessed or only obsessed or weekends obsessed or obsessed between the hours of 8 and 5. These are all fantasies. You're either obsessed or you're not. There's no sense of balance for those bitten by their obsessions. I'm going to show you how to make it all work later. There's no making sense of being spectacular. It's not a part-time endeavor. Look, regardless of your industry, obsession, being obsessed, staying obsessed is mandatory for the kind of success that I'm talking about. Maybe now is the time to decide to put the book down or to keep reading. Look, if you want massive success, you must become obsessed. The obsessed know if they aren't all in on their venture, they will get rolled over by others who are. Go ask those who live in Silicon Valley how they feel about immersion, 100-hour work weeks, borrowing money from families, working all day and all night. Ask them, and they'll tell you. That if you're not obsessed in this place, at this time, you won't exist. Then find someone who is obsessed with creating an amazing family and notice how passionately they talk about family first and love of family and dedication for their family. Talk to an artist or an athlete, someone who's obsessed with and constantly improving their particular talent and see how they come alive in that moment, talking about that thing they do, that thing they love, that thing that they are obsessed with. So you have to embrace this die trying mentality. You're going to die anyway. There can be no choices and no options. I give you permission to have no other choices and no other options. See, victory, yes, victory comes at a price, and so does settling. The problem in our society is nobody sees the price of settling. Sure, you might be totally and completely insane. I give you that. But you're not going to stop, okay? Because history shows that only the obsessed actually make it. People like Alexander the Great, Joan of Arc, Albert Einstein, Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, Elon Musk, Howard Schultz, Oprah, Vincent van Gogh, Steve Jobs, Christopher Columbus, Charlie Chaplin, Mozart, Michelangelo, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Leonardo DiCaprio, Martin Scorsese, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Serena Williams, and on and on. There's no shortage of these people. And like them or hate them, admire them or detest them, we both know them. Whether or not you agree with their mission or how they got where they are, you cannot deny that they paid the price. They were obsessed. And that's why you and I know their names. It is not because of their art, not because of their trade, not because of their gifts. It is because they were obsessed. These are people who fought against all odds and were unwilling to settle. Sure, none of them created the exact life I want. None of them created the life you probably want because they had different dreams than you and I have. But you can use what they have done to fuel your own obsessions because they gave permission to some fanatical, unreasonable, obsessed fascination with their dreams. You and I know their names. Is there a single person we both know the name of who wasn't obsessed? I doubt it. Now let's get our names on that list. Chapter 3, what to be obsessed with. As you've been reading, you've probably been asking yourself, how do I even find the things or thing that I'm obsessed with? Maybe you already think you know. Maybe you don't have a clue. I've been in both situations in my life, trust me. Maybe you've lost your way You could be young and confused, or you could be in the midst of a life transition, changing jobs, getting over a relationship, or just done feeling like, man, I'm out of fuel right now. Look, I've been there. It could be a day. It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be a year. Okay. Throughout life, or for different reasons, I've had to ask myself questions like this again and again. What am I doing right now? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is my purpose right now? What is going to get me excited again? Look, when you identify why you want to achieve something, you can fully and completely get obsessed with achieving that thing. This obsession, finding your new obsession, is what you will need to blow away all barriers, opposition, the competition, and all the things that you didn't plan on so that you can actually achieve your goal. You can obsess about anything. Yes, you can obsess about anything. It's your choice. We've already talked about negative obsessions, including drugs, wasting time on social media, and all the other activities or non-activities that produce not constructive outcomes. There are also the positive obsessions. Look, you could be obsessed with spin class. That can't be bad for you. Or losing weight. It can't be bad for you until you become anorexic or start throwing up. You could be obsessed with getting in shape. I don't know how that would be a bad thing for you, but I guess it could, or doing a cleanse. Look, the truth is you can be obsessed with supporting anything and everything. It's your choice. You could be obsessed with supporting a charity. You could be obsessed with helping an ill parent or conceiving a new baby, starting life, transitioning life, or ending life. You could get obsessed about any of those three. When I'm talking about obsessions, though, I'm talking about those obsessions that are worthy of your attention, your energy, your money, and your creativity, and your commitment. I'm talking about those things that deserve your attention because they support your purpose. Look, the two are related, but they're not the same thing. I was obsessed with getting rich because my purpose was to make sure my family never had to worry. It wasn't to accumulate stuff. I was obsessed with getting rich because I wanted to take care of my family. I didn't want to have to worry like my mother did. I was tired of seeing myself and my family mentally scrape and struggle in the middle class, again, like I did as a child. Purpose, purpose, purpose is the holy grail of being obsessed for the right things. Purpose. I see purpose as a person's reason for doing something, or the reason for which someone or something even exists. Why do you exist? The why. It's the why of all whys and the fuel for all your obsessions. Man has been looking for this why for probably since the beginning of time. To get you started on the path to thinking big, then even bigger, then massively giant, it'll happen to you, I promise you. As you move toward your purpose, I'll tell you that just because I started this road of obsession doing sales in a car dealership doesn't mean I love that job. In fact, I hated that job. It wasn't anywhere close to my dream job. It wasn't a job that I thought I deserved. It wasn't even what I was passionate about. The first 2 years I sold automobiles, or barely sold automobiles in my case, I absolutely hated it. I hated the way people treated me. I hated my business card. I hated the idea of being a car salesman. But when I changed my mind and decided to become obsessed with making myself great at that job, and eventually, not only did I love the job, I mastered the art, and I realized this very thing that I had resisted and hated and degraded and made wrong and criticized and judged, it was the way out for me. See, thanks to my dad, I have never been stuck believing I had to like something in order to commit myself to it. I think a lot of people are really greatly confused. I need to love my job to be good at it. No, you need to learn how to perform like you're obsessed with something that you hate until you're great at it. Then you're in control of your life. Look, when I was 9 years old, I remember watching my dad working in the yard. It's one of my last memories. It was winter in Lake Charles, Louisiana, on this beautiful piece of property that my dad had finally purchased. He had bought his dream home. He was obsessed with that idea, and now he had it. We had some 50 giant pecan trees on this yard. And with those pecan trees, as beautiful as they were, during the winter, it would drop branches and pecans and leaves and all the problems that 50 trees would create. And my dad and I are working in the yard. I think it's February. It's cold. It's blistering. It's a little wet, humid. And I'm watching my dad pick up pecans and sticks and leaves and stuff them into a trash bag and replace that trash bag and stuff them into another. He was doing it in such a manner that it looked like he loved what he was doing attentively and precisely. He's paying attention to everything. Everything's going in the right place. I'm 9 years old, 9 and a half years old, and I'm watching him with monster